We are going to be facing an awful lot of challenges to the truth in the coming few years, more than we've had in the past. So that's why it's important for us to really understand that even though there are many, many, many things within the plan of God, our relationship with Him is simple. It's the simplicity in Christ. Now, the way that God expressed it to the children of Israel was, He said, here was the proposition. If you will obey my voice. Now, this is very basic, but the basics are simple, and this is on which the foundation of everything is built. If you will obey my voice. Now, for us, it's exactly the same thing. All the details come later. And the details are different from the world's view of things. And the world is wrapped up in a system that is based on another simple proverb, which is this. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the way of death. And every way of a man or woman is right in his own eyes. So God gives us the next simple thing for us to do. So let's come to Matthew 22 and let's see what that is. And this is really very powerful. Now, this is also taken from what we call the Old Testament. And that, stop and think about this for a minute. When the apostles began preaching and teaching, and they were to what? They were to go into all the world and preach remission of sins and the gospel of eternal life. That's what they were to do. And guess what? They did not have the New Testament. Not one word of it had been written. So how did they preach the New Covenant? Well, they preached it from the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And in the last chapter of Luke, there was a special thing that Jesus did for the apostles. Now, look at it the way the apostles were looking at it, because they thought He was the Messiah. They thought, and He was, and they figured He was going to set up the kingdom of God because that's what He taught, which He's going to. But He was crucified and died and buried. Now you talk about an utter collapse of inspiration for the apostles. Though He told them He's going to be raised after being in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Because no one has ever been raised from the dead to eternal life except Christ. So when He opened their minds to the prophecies concerning Him in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms, they could preach the gospel. Now think about that for a minute, because this becomes very important, because you have to have the law. Now, Christ wasn't done with the Word of God. Remember what He said. He said, I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, I came to fulfill, which means to complete. So He was completing the Word of God so that we would have it all written down so we could obey His voice. Now, another thing that's important, little sidebar here. Number four, You see, because we will see this. As you study the Word of God, it grows, it grows, it grows, it grows, it expands, it expands, it expands in understanding and meaning. And that's why you don't learn it all at once. You start at the beginning, and then it keeps going and going and going and going and going from there. Okay? Because we're being prepared for eternal life. So God starts with, just like he did with Abraham, as Gil mentioned. He says, repent, believe the gospel, and follow me. Now that's pretty simple. That's another way of saying, obey my voice. And it's recorded here. Now, Matthew 22, let's pick it up. Let's see another thing that is simple, but becomes very deep. Okay? Well, let's pick it up here in verse 35. Matthew 22, verse 35. This is the basic fundamental thing for everything. And remember, just like there are false teachings in Christianity of this world, there is a false love in the Christianity of this world. And just like there's a false grace in the Christianity of this world, there's a true grace that's in the Bible. And so, little sidebar over here. So the next time you meet a Christian of the world, okay, and they talk about the grace of God, okay, ask them one simple question. What does it mean, grace upon grace? What does it mean, grace upon grace? I'll finish that for you. Okay. Everyone that has the Spirit of God has a direct connection and access to God the Father and Jesus Christ, and are the future spiritual sons and daughters of God. Now think on that for a minute. All right. Matthew 22. Here a Pharisee came. And by the way, as Gil mentioned, the works of law are the traditions. Protestants have them, Jews have them, Catholics have them, Buddhists have them, Hindus have them. But we have the Word of God. And everything in the Word of God is based on what we're going to read here. And one of the doctors of the law questioned him, tempting him, and saying, Master, which commandment is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now that is the ultimate goal of conversion, see? Right there. Simply said. Now, you look at it with all your heart, so there's emotion involved. But it's not just merely based upon emotion. See? With all your soul. Now, your soul is your physical body. So then you take care of your body so you can glorify God in your body by following the things that God wants you to do to take care of your body. Okay? And with all your mind. Now, that sounds really simple, doesn't it? And it is. Okay? He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Now then, what happens when we do this? What is the next step from this? Is there a definition that tells us, now what do we do so that it's more than just a feeling in the heart, okay, which we need to have. And when we first come to the consciousness of sin, and God is the one who brings us to that point because we don't know what sin is. All right? So come here to John 14. And this is the way that the Bible works. A little here, a little there. Line here, a line there. Precept here, a precept there. And it's just like here, John 14, and it's just like putting together a puzzle or a house or making something. Now, how many have seen this commercial where it shows this transmission in it midair? And then all of a sudden, it all comes apart. There are all these parts and all these details in there, right? Okay? I'm sure you've seen that commercial if you watch television. If you haven't, you haven't missed anything. Okay? But here's the transmission. But look at all the parts. And it doesn't work without all the parts. Have you ever had transmission problems? How's your car run? Not very good. See? So likewise, here's what Jesus has told us to help define how do we love God. See, we started with obey my voice. Love me with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. Okay? Now that expands it out considerably more. How is that expressed? Can you live just any old way you want to? Can you think any old way you want to think? Well, in the world, the most sacred thing is your opinion. Right or wrong. Okay? Well, here's what Jesus said, verse 15. If you love me, now you'll hear me say this over and over and over again because this is basic. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Now, that's the way it is in the Greek. Okay? Now, when you understand that he, before he came into flesh, was the Lord God of the Old Testament, that includes an awful lot in the Old Testament, too. Okay? Now, we all know the Ten Commandments. Now, that's another step. See? Obey my voice, love me, keep my commandments. Okay? Let's see how God then reacts to us and with us once we repent and receive the Holy Spirit of God. Come here to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10. All right. And this is the vast difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Hebrews 10. All right. Little sticky pages here. You're probably already there before me on the computer. Yeah, at the conference last year. No, year before, I was sitting next to Mark Reinhart and his wife, and he had the Bible on his iPad. And so I'm here with my Bible and listening to the messages being given, and I'm turning to the where it is in the Bible. And he's going boop, 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 boop. And I'm still turning pages. I only beat him once. Okay? Hebrews 10. Here is how we overcome the carnal mind. Now, everybody knows what the carnal mind is, don't you? Carnal mind is enmity against God and not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, notice how God is going to solve this problem. How are you going to obey his voice? Love him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, and keep his commandments. With the Holy Spirit of God uniting with your spirit of man, and that is the beginning of conversion. Then here is what he does. Okay. Verse 14. Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has obtained eternal perfection. But perfection is a process for those who were sanctified. And sanctified means you have the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had previously said, this is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. After what days? The days of Christ's ministry. Here is the covenant that we enter into. Okay. I will give my laws into their hearts. Because if you love God and keep his commandments, he will write them in your heart and in your mind. Isn't that something? Okay. How many have seen this commercial? They got it everywhere. I just wish they'd get some different commercials someplace, you know. Seemed like they have the same one there. Here, we're going to improve your mind. Prevagen, isn't that the name of it? Okay. Scientists have discovered from what? Jellyfish, a protein to improve your mind. And then it shows, you know, simulation, how the mind works and so forth. Now then, God has a better idea. See? He has his Holy Spirit, which he gives to each one of us directly, and that is called the begettal. And just like I point out in the book, when a new life is begotten, it's not ready to be born yet, right? It has to be what? Perfected through the process of growth, and then at the right time, boom, born. Now then, everything for the physical life starts there, but everything for the physical life is also preparation for the spiritual life because of what God is going to do with his Spirit. See? Now this is really a great and marvelous and loving thing that God does. Because, see, God himself loves you. Himself. You know, God, in creating the heavens and the earth, is so great. He can love each one of us individually with the same measure of love that he gives to all that have his Spirit. It's not like the Catholic Church where they have a hierarchy, and some churches of God have hierarchies. You know, the equal, that's all you people out here. The more equal, that's all of us privileged people. We can live in sin and do what we want to and take your money, and you have to come and crawl before us and take a little wafer in order for you to be part of what they're doing. How horrible of a counterfeit that is. See? God wants it between you and him with his Spirit directly. Now, to make it easy to obey his voice, he puts his laws and commandments within your mind. As you study, now you have your part. As you grow, as you overcome. See? Now, when God first begins dealing with us, and it will happen after that too, many times, which is this. God will work in our lives because of troubles and difficulties. That's how God deals with every one of us. If we're rich and prosperous and have need of nothing, oh, you won't care anything about God. So we cry out to God and he hears and he answers. And then if we start reading the Bible, it's almost like a switch was turned. And in some cases, it's like, bing, like a little spark of electricity. Bing. What is that? That's God opening your mind to understand. See? Now, that's the beginning. And he's saying, I have so much more to give you because I love you. I have so much more for you. See? And this is why we need everything that God has. You can't develop the mind of Christ without the Spirit of God, and you can't develop the mind of Christ without having the laws and commandments in your written in your heart and inscribed in your mind. Now notice, okay? I will give my laws into their hearts and will inscribe them in their minds so that you can think as God wants you to think. And the more you study the Word of God, the more that you understand, and the more that you will love God. It's a continuous growing thing. So whether in trials or difficulties, which we'll have, we've all had them. I've had them, you've had them. We all have them. What for? So we can have this happen to us. Isn't that a tremendous solution? Now, come back here to Psalm 19. Because one of the very first things you're going to hear from those who have the false Christianity of this world, Psalm 19. Now also, write down, don't go there, go to Psalm 19, but write down Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Okay? Why? When you read and study that, you will see how fantastic and wonderful that the laws and commandments of God really, really are. Okay? Now, Psalm 19. Take off the one and come back to Psalm 19. Okay? Verse 7. So here's a little ammunition to answer those who think they're Christians. You ask, well, do you keep Sunday? Oh, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. Okay. Well, that's the wrong day, folks. But they're convinced the right day. Well, the law's done away. First thing they'll say, Jesus did away with it. He said he didn't do away with it. Paul did away with it. Paul didn't do away with it. Okay? And remember this, God is the lawgiver. Now, verse 7, Psalm 19. This is what's important. The law of God is what? Perfect. Now, go back to where we just read. We are sanctified unto what? Perfection. You can't be sanctified unto perfection if you are not using those things that are perfect, right? Yes, indeed. Okay? Just to give you an example with your car. You need the right kind of oil in the engine, right? Now, what if you took all of that out, took out all the good oil, and you put in a massive amount of WD-40? How long do you think it would take to burn out your car? Wrong oil. See? So God has made us to receive his Spirit, to receive his law, so that we can obey his voice, love him, keep his commandments, have them written in our hearts and in our minds, so that we can be perfected spiritually with his Spirit all added together. Now notice, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul, restoring your whole being. When you were sinning against God, did you have a lot of sickness, a lot of disease, a lot of problems? Did you have mental turmoil? Yes, indeed. Restoring the soul. And of course, then, the end result of that is what? The resurrection. See? Now, when you talk to your children, what is one of the favorite conversations? When I grow up, right? Isn't it? Yes. Okay? Well, it's the same way with us and God the Father. In order for us to enter into the kingdom of God, we have to grow in grace and knowledge. And at the resurrection, we'll be born again. Transformed. Spirit beings. Think of that. Now, we'll have some interesting conversations with some of those who came before us. Okay? Interesting one would be Noah. What was it like when you were building the ark and everyone was against you? What was it like when you entered into the ark and you were in there 7 days before it started to rain? How hard did they bang on the side of the ark? You know, you're crazy. You're a fool. And then, oh. Clouds, thunder, lightning, you know, broke up the fountains of the deep. Noah, let me in. Sorry. Okay. Now, don't worry about those people before the flood. In God's plan, he's going to take care of them. But that's part of the more deep things of God, see? But we have to start with these things and build from there, all right? Now, notice what it does. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's us. See, before God called us, we're all simple-minded. We're just all out there. It doesn't matter what our intelligence is. Don't you think some of these great scientists say, oh, there's no God, Bible's a myth, everything's a lie. Well, they're blinded. But in God's eyes, with all this knowledge, they're simple. God can change that. All they have to do is repent, come to God. Okay? The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Every way and everything about God is good and right. The commandments, now zero in on this. The commandments, plural, of the Lord are pure. Not a thing wrong with them, right? Enlightening the eyes. Again, giving you great and spiritual understanding. Now, where are we reading right now? In the Old Testament, correct? And how many have said the Old Testament is the old law? Or it's been done away? Look what they're missing. Look at all the instruction here they're missing. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now, in the New Testament, it talks about fear, especially in relationship to sexual immorality. It says, flee sexual immorality. Why does it say that? Well, because the only way to avoid it is to get away from it, because you will reach a certain point that you won't be able to stop, right? So God says, flee. That's New Testament, okay? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, notice all of this combined. See? Notice it. Verse 10. More to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Why? Because only God can give eternal life. All the gold, all the riches in the world cannot do that. You know, like at the sermon, or the funeral service rather, very rich man died. And someone asked the question, how much did he leave? The answer is, all of it. All of it. Now notice what else it does. Because you see, in our minds, and I know you do this and I do this because every human being does this. You talk to yourself all the time, right? Don't you? That's the working of your mind. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with answering yourself if you give a right answer. Okay? You know? And everything you do is a choice or a decision, correct? Okay? What should I do? Where should I go? What should I wear? What should I eat? You know, all these things. Now then, yea, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, now verse 11 becomes important. Coupled with the Spirit of God, which we are to what? Be led by the Spirit of God. Now coupled with that, moreover, by them, that is all what we just read here, the commandments, the statutes, the precepts, and so forth, by them is your servant warned, okay? In keeping them, there is great reward. What kind of reward? Now look at the difference. It talks about all the gold in the verse above, but here it talks great reward. You can't put any value on eternal life, can you? No. No. All right? Now, here's another thing. Here's what it does. Verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Nobody can, because you think you're right. Okay? Oh, cleanse me from my secret faults. It helps get right down into what Gil was talking about, being cleansed within. See? Okay? All right. Now let's go to Psalm 119, and we'll read just a couple of verses here, and we will see how all of this applies. Now, as we're turning to Psalm 119, now what I did, since Psalm 119 puts it all in a personal first person. And one of the things we are to overcome is self and vanity, right? But in Psalm 119, it talks about I 135 times. Now that's not vanity, because it's relating to the Word of God. All right? Now, it's broken down into 22 sections according to the Hebrew alphabet. And in Hebrew, every one of these verses start with that letter of the alphabet. And this was to be memorized by all the Levites at the temple. So think about that. That stretches my brain. Okay, now notice this, again, concerning the law of God. Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. New Testament, it is called the way of the Lord. And what did Jesus give as a qualifier for that? If you love me, keep my commandments, correct? So you see how everything is all put together and just comes together as a complete package. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Now, that ties right in with what we read about loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, correct? Yes? Okay. So see how the Bible puts it together in such a way that we learn from it. And this gives us the strength of God's Spirit, and this gives us the joy of knowing the truth. All right? Verse 3. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. So he's admitting he's got human nature. Okay? Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. Now, this goes on and on and on and on through Psalm 119. It is an amazing psalm. But come over here to verse 18. Verse 18. Now, this is what happens. When we're in the world, we're blinded. How are we blinded? We don't think we're blinded. We can see quite well. Okay? We're blinded spiritually because when we do not keep the commandments of God, it's just like putting a shutter over the eyes. When we repent and are baptized, as we're repenting leading up to baptism, God lifts that blindness and you see. But the word of God is so absolutely great that it is a lifetime study and a lifetime learning, and you learn more and more and more and more and more and more. And that's what God wants. And especially for us today, that we have all the word of God and all the things we have for it. But notice this, verse 18, open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. That is amazing, isn't it? And you know, brethren, in all the years that I've been in the church, and this Passover coming up will be my 56th, I'm still learning because there is so much here. Now, think of it this way. God is so great that he created the heavens and the earth and all of us. And more importantly, think on this. He loves every individual so much. And in his plan, he's going to give them all an opportunity for salvation. In his plan right now, we're given an opportunity. All right? But God is so great that he has numbered us through the genes and chromosomes that we are distinct and unique and different from any other human being. Right? Now expand that out further. Everything that God has created, though there are similarities in it, like the whole human family. Okay? All human beings together. Yet we're individual and distinct and separate. Yet we constitute part of humanity. It's the same way with every leaf on a tree, with every snowflake that falls, with every animal that is brought into this world. Okay? Unique. Now that's how they catch criminals, right? You ever watch Forensic Files? Yeah, watch a couple of those. One man was about ready to get away with murder, but he left a thumbprint right on the plate of the light switch. That was a witness against him, right? Yes, indeed. Got caught. All right, now let's see. Let's see what God wants us to do. This becomes really, really very important here. Now, how then, let's come here to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are going to be a lot coming, saying, and even want to come in and change the beliefs of the churches of God. That's happened before in the past. That's warned of in the book of Revelation, so forth. But let's understand this. Here is how we can differentiate right from wrong, good from evil, spiritual from carnal, by even those who profess Jesus. Now, Matthew 7. But in the world, you have two classes of Christians. Number one, those who are for Jesus, but are not a part of the church of God because they don't keep the commandments and they don't keep the Passover and holy days of God. They don't keep the Sabbath, but they're for Jesus. They'll tell you a lot about Jesus and so forth. Okay, that's a very close counterfeit. That's why we need to have the word of God and study it and know it. So here, Jesus gives this warning. Verse 21, Matthew 7. All right, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. All right. That becomes important. Hold your place here and we'll come back. Come to John, the fifth chapter. Now let's see what Jesus said of himself. Let's see what Jesus said of himself. Okay? John 5, verse 19. After he was cornered by the religious authorities for healing a man on the Sabbath. Verse 19, John 5. Therefore, Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son has no power to do anything of himself, but only what he sees the Father do, for whatever the Father he does, these things the Son also does in the same manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be filled with wonder. All right. Jesus didn't do his own will. Very interesting. In the Greek, when it says, of myself, I can do nothing. Now, the Greek there is ek, and it means that he did nothing of his own thoughts, separate from God's, and that would amount to nothing if he did it, right? Likewise with us. He repeated it over here in verse 30. I have no power to do anything of myself, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I am not seeking my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And that's what we need to do always in our lives. The same thing. And the Spirit of God will lead us to do that. Now when we're confronted with something that is different, come back to Matthew 7. Finish verse 21. But the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's why we have the whole Bible, see. Now it starts out simple, and then God reveals other things to us as we go along, okay? Now notice verse 32 verse here, sorry about that. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy through your name? Did we not cast out demons through your name? Did we not perform many works of power through your name? But that was only because of the name of Jesus. That wasn't because of them. And that's more than likely because the people that they were preaching to didn't know that they were false, and so God answered the prayer of those individuals, not because of them. But notice what he says here. And I will confess to them, oh, you were wonderful. Yes, you were great. You were marvelous. You did absolute wonderful things. Hallelujah. Okay, now, he will profess to them, I never knew you. Now why? Because God only gives his Spirit to those who obey him. That's why. And they didn't have the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to see, as Jesus said at the end times, there are going to be false prophets, there are going to be false Christ, and I'm telling you that we don't understand the work that the Catholic Church is doing to bring all religions together. I'm going to give some sermons on that in the future. But they are working through many, many, many different organizations called NGOs. You know what NGOs are? Non-government organizations. And they're bringing people on common ground. On common ground. They even had a big ceremony over in Seoul where they had the Alliance of World Churches from 120 churches sign a unity pledge. And it's through these kind of organizations. So we will see that come. And who is going to be the greatest ones doing the greatest miracle for the world that the world will follow? That's the false prophet, right? Does miracles, even calling fire down from heaven? Okay. Because they were not doing the will of the Father. This is pure Satanism at its full, and it's coming full bore on us. Okay. Now notice, continuing here, depart from me, you who work lawlessness. And lawlessness is to be multiplied in the end times. That's what we're seeing everywhere in the world. Okay? Now notice the next one, and here we are. Okay? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, obey my voice. Keep my commandments. Love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and practices them. I will compare him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and that rock is Christ. Everything we do is building on the house. And God is the one who is building the entire house. And ultimately, what house are we going to live in? New Jerusalem. That is going to be awesome indeed. See? So this is why God has written the word the way that he has, so we can learn it. Okay? Now notice, verse 25, and the rain came down and the floods came. Now, you've been watching the news. What happens when the rain comes down and the floods come and the wind blows? What are all of those? Trials, difficulties, right? Yes, indeed. But God will see us through them all because he loves us. He's called us. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He wants us in his kingdom. And you know, just like many of the things that you went through as a child, you can't remember them anymore. Well, when we're resurrected and in the kingdom of God, all of this will be past. And then God is going to use us to save the world and save all of mankind and do the greatest thing that only God can do. And that starts with the millennium and the return of Christ. That's a whole story, see? Another whole account. That's why everything that God does has purpose. And as we come along, we may not understand it at first, but the knowledge is here so we can understand it. And then God is the one who is building the house. The house is what? The church. What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, I will build my church. So ultimately, in every one of us, Christ is the one who's doing the building. God the Father is there with us, with his Spirit and Christ, so that we can get through every trial and every difficulty that comes along. Now then, he shows what happens to the foolish man. Okay? Now, since we're right here, let's go back to Matthew 5 and verse 48, and we'll finish here, okay? Now, here again is a very simple scripture that is expanded and understood throughout the rest of the Bible. Here is the goal that God wants for us. Verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect. Now notice how. He doesn't tell us the way to get there, but he tells us the ultimate goal. Even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. So that's what God is doing. That's why the church today is not large. God is calling the few. He's calling those who want to love him and serve him. And so, brethren, I'm glad to be able to be here and be here on the Sabbath with you and help you understand the Word of God. And it's going to be really a tremendous thing, because I know that after we get this book out, Why Were You Born? I know that is going to go almost like wildfire. And there will be many new people coming. We're at a point in the church that there are two things happening. Number one, we're reaching a demographic cliff, which is many people have been in the church of God for years and years and years and years, and they're getting older. And they're all going to go to their place of safety, the grave. Since it won't die out, God is going to call more people, and we have to be ready to help them and serve them so that they can grow and overcome. And furthermore, they will be able to grow at a much faster rate than we have. I remember when the first thing that I got a magazine. Then I had to wait, and here came a letter. Then I had to write in, and here came a booklet. And I had to write in later, and here comes another booklet. And then I find out, well, they've got 30 or 40 booklets. Okay? Well, today it's different. We've got it all right here. See? You want a booklet? Go online and just push the button, and there it's on your computer. You better have your battery charged up. Okay? Okay? You want to know a special study? Now, let me tell you something. We have right now 45 in-depth studies with transcript books. And we've got a dedicated, big, fantastic copier. And Ken Redmond comes in and he makes the books. We have a spiral binder machine. Okay? So we've got them on the love of God, the grace of God, the Sabbath, Galatians, Romans, Hebrews, Gospel of John, Hebrews.